Welcome, friends, to the God Friend and Me podcast by Fantastic Geek. My name is Matt, and joining me, as always, is Pete. Good day, Pete.
Good day, Matt. Good day, everyone. The God Friend and Me podcast by Fantastic Geek for episode 213, The Princess and the Hacker, comes your way now.
This is an episode written by Christy Korzek, directed by Marco Siega, the prolific Marco Siega, who... at least through the first 15 episodes or so, we'll have directed like five or six. Pete, let's talk ratings. This episode with a 0.4 rating, 5.37 million viewers. This now the new series low, going past the former series low set in December.
Well, I mean, it can only be up from here. In the 8 o'clock time slot, no football to bounce off. It is what it is. And I think the thing that people need to understand is that moving forward, this is the time of the year where they start to consider what is going to hang around on a schedule and what is not. So will there be a season three for God Friend and Me? That gets determined now. So watch live, tweet about it. Facebook about it, bring a friend to it, get people to watch if you're passionate about this show coming back.
Also, Pete, in some series news, actress Lynn Cohen, who just in the last month played the sister slash Holocaust survivor, actress Lynn Cohen passed away in the last week or so at the age of 86, perhaps best known as Magda in Sex and the City, also was in one of the Hunger Games films, and just somebody who has tons of Hollywood experience, TV experience, stage experience, and certainly a presence that a lot of people will miss.
And in just one scene on God Friend and Me as Rose, just made such a wonderful impression. So sad to hear about Miss Cohen. Tremendous career that she had spanning multiple decades, and she'll be missed. Now let's take a stroll through our eightfold path to enlightenment about this episode. Miles walks into Allie's bar and Sis is looking for the update about Miles and Kara being just friends. She's also planning on telling Arthur and Trish about her diagnosis. Rakesh arrives with Kara, ready to launch his soulmate app. It's Lulu Achebe. Who is Lulu? How about this week's friend suggestion?
At Identity Seal, maybe the app, about more than Rakesh's desire to get Jaya back. As for Lulu, she's a grad student at Columbia, and Rakesh magically hacks her schedule so they can all meet up. Later, Arthur and Trish share info about their honeymoon, and Allie says she's found a lump in her breast. It's serious, but there's a plan of attack. Later still, Rakesh is in line for a trendy food truck, and Lulu's right behind him. Turns out they've got an interest in food in common, and she's a catapult reader. But who's that sketchy guy across the street? Lulu suggests they get food elsewhere.
Lunch has been great. Down to the talk about Data's from Star Trek. Star Trek Picard, now streaming on CBS All Access, along with our podcast. And Goonies. But there's that sketchy guy again. Turns out he's a bodyguard because she's a big deal back in her anonymous Central African country. Lulu leaves and Miles and Kara come in. So who is Lulu really? Turns out she's the princess of Luongo. Later, Rakesh sums up Lulu's Google search and she's so cool, she might be his soulmate after all. She wants to meet for lunch and asks him to bring Kara.
At the church, Trish and Arthur reflect on the battle against cancer waged by his first wife, a harrowing, terrible ordeal. At Allie's bar, Lulu anticipates being named successor to the throne, and Kara can help by deflecting another catapult reporter who's sniffing around on Lulu's anonymous writing about gender equality. They meet with writer Erin Blake, and Lulu states that her quotes could upset politics at home. Why not trade that article for an interview with the soon-to-be-named Queen? Deal.
Miles and Kara reflect on being such a good team. Pity they're not more. At Columbia University, Lulu reflects on destiny. And look, there's King Father with brother Zane in tow. He will be speaking at the United Nations tomorrow, which means Lulu's not next in line. At Dr. Chang's office, Allie's cancer should respond well to chemo and start right away. But Allie wants to wait long enough to freeze her eggs so that she can have children down the road. It's a delay of a few weeks, and Dr. Chang isn't comfortable with such a choice.
Allie breaks this news to Arthur and Trish. Arthur is upset at anything that would lower the odds. At the bar, Zane is a reluctant leader who needs his sister's counsel, but knows that his country apparently cannot handle a female leader. Rakesh updates Kara, and it seems Zane might be leaking information across town. At Miles' apartment, Allie is angry she didn't have support about her treatment delay, but Miles backs Arthur on this one. Still, Allie wants a shot at being a mother someday.
Lulu confronts Zane. Yep, he's the leak, and maybe Lulu's too progressive to lead. Allie and Trish talk about how the finer men have responded to her cancer. The God account suggests some old magazines. Miles, Trish, and Kara flip through them, and Lulu arrives ready to walk away from her family. But what's the deal with the magazines? There's a picture of Mum and Dad protesting for equality. Can't the king's mind be changed? They show him the magazine, and he remembers his liberal views and the need to quiet them to protect his children.
At the UN, Lulu tells her father that she won't silence her views. He replies that as king, he is proud. She will give the speech and become queen after all. At Arthur's house, Allie commits to delaying the treatment. The Reverend is upset that she's putting her life on the line based on hope. We get the God friend in me uplift as Arthur is reminded of the hope that lifted his late wife through her treatments. Lulu gives her uplifting speech, and afterwards, Rakesh brings her pumpkin mac and cheese. Maybe they'll see each other again. At Allie's bar, everyone toasts the idea of friendly soulmates. Here's to forever to end the episode.
Now it's time to step into the confessional.
Pete couldn't help but notice that this is an episode that inverted the normal order of the show just a little bit. We kind of had it being more a Rakesh and friend episode with Miles and Kara in more supporting role. I thought that it was an interesting way to keep the show fresh after these 30 plus episodes or so.
A definite rarity in terms of allowing Serge to take the lead. Absolutely welcome. And I, for one, hope we're going to get some more of that. I mean, with the prospect here that, he developed the app to try to show Jaya they are soulmates. What did the app lead him to in another woman in Lulu, someone he seems to pair with quite nicely? Seems like we may not get Jaya back. Will we get Lulu back? Like to see these big moves going on for Rakesh.
Yeah, I think in terms of what the show has ahead for itself in the next 7 episodes, tons of flexibility with some of those recurring guest actors, whether it's Jaya's return, if we get more of Joy, let alone, who knows what older characters might return. I'm reminded of the taxi driver who was in 2 episodes, the private detective Ray as well, who's come back 2 or 3 times. So lots of flexibility for this last third of season 2.
And you say 7 episodes, that's still not definitively known.
That's an excellent point. It's been reported out there, like on Wikipedia, which I think is reliable to a point, but it's been reported a 20 episode season. I have not seen that, kind of independently confirmed by an entertainment news source, that sort of thing. Certainly it was 20 episodes last season, and the tentative schedule has episodes for the next month, including this most recent one, and then lots of kind of open dates, Sundays at 8 on CBS, which is to say not this special or that concert, but exactly how that schedule is going to unfold and if we are going to get a season finale with episode 220 does remain to be seen.
Yeah, so we will definitely have to reach out to some of our friends at God Friend of Me and see if we can't lock down an exact number on this season.
Pete, what other theories are going on in your head?
With the Soulmate app now live, this opens up a whole new avenue for the show, potentially, not just in terms of God account suggestions, but how that might line up. So it's going to be interesting to see how they deploy that in this this run.
It is interesting that the show now kind of sort of has competing apps. You know, there's kind of the notion of the account, which, okay, maybe the account is more of an account than an app, but there is something non-human about it, you know, whether it's automated or from heaven above. But there's the, for lack of a better word, there's the app, which is the account, and then now Rakesh has this other app. Interesting that both should cross paths with each other. It has me wondering, to what degree is Rakesh doing programming that, unbeknownst to him, is parallel to that of the God account, and how might that unfold in terms of, you know, we periodically do return to the programmers and the tech people and whatnot that form the spine of this technology here. Does the show do something with that? I don't know.
Getting the show back for the first time in a month here, the necessary recap. And again, they do not film shows. They do not film episodes with the idea explicitly of this will air on this date and this will air a month later. That's meted out more so by the network. But in terms of explaining the situation between Miles and Kara, this idea they're going to remain friends at this point, in these next couple episodes we're due to get consecutively, has to be something that will be addressed and resolved, right?
I would imagine so, particularly with how it was reiterated at the top of this episode. And I agree with you, Pete, that particular episodes aren't necessarily made for specific weeks, but I think that probably when this episode was in production, they had a sense of how the second half was going to be airing. I mean, my goodness, they're basically doing exactly what they did for the first season. So whatever that rationale was with football, no football, you know, Grammys, Oscars, Super Bowl, etc., it's following a similar path. So the idea up front to hit a lot of stuff, to hit that refrain in the first couple minutes of here's how all the characters are relating to each other and relating to their own situations, as you say, it must be setting up some sort of change, because this is not a show that remains stagnant in its serial nature.
And with the Jaya actress, Shazi Raja, having been on The Resident, you have to wonder if this Lulu appearance portends of a greater role for the actress moving forward, or if this was, hey, let's take Rakesh's mind off the other character, you know, the one with the actress that's got some other work here, throw in another one, work in the app. There you go.
I was certainly a little surprised, nay, pleasantly surprised, to see kind of, I don't know, the wonder and dazzle and almost new love. I mean, I know we ended up not getting love between Rakesh and Lulu, but he seemed to really be swept off his feet a bit with all that she was, even before he knew that she was royalty and whatnot. So I think that if we are going to treat this story as real, the fact that Rakesh's heart is starting to heal and he's feeling on the rebound and feeling open to love again, I think that was very genuine. I think maybe if we want to read into the performance choices of, you know, oh, we as the production, we as the show know that she's coming back in a month and then so on and so forth. And there's a certain thing there. So, you know, hey, Serge, really put in your performance stuff, because in the next 7 episodes, she's going to be in 4 of them. And it's going to be this great romantic arc. So really, really kind of sell the blast off of it here. Perhaps that is the case. But again, even just in the moment, you know, lovely, sparkling woman, and Rakesh really, really felt that.
And actress Sibongil Mulambo here, most recently of Lost in Space, you have to wonder, you know, that's a show that films all at once, and then the characters are, you know, the actors are available. Could she pop back up? She was definitely interacting on social media throughout the episode and very playful at that. So, you know, have to see whether she can reappear. And that interaction with Rakesh, again, certainly welcome.
Well, and you factor in increasingly shows on Netflix don't go much past the third or fourth season. There's certain financial incentives when a show reaches the fifth season, just in general, not with Netflix, but in general. So there's almost like a financial incentive to do less than five seasons. So maybe the actress thinking ahead is like, hey, even though I might be going back for Lost in Space season three, odds are that doesn't go much past that. So maybe it's God friended me, you know, episode 310, if that's the earliest she can come back, you know, second half of next season. Hey, she's back and whatnot. You know, always got to keep an eye on the road ahead.
When the reporter that was dogging Lulu for the details behind her speaking out was mentioned, for a moment, had we known he was no longer on the show, I'm like, Adam's going to pop back up. And, you know, the realism of a reporter making the deal that Aaron Blake did stands to reason, definitely passes the sniff test as far as that goes. Fell a little over the top in terms of her clap back once things didn't work out. I mean, reporters understand that nothing is set in stone and that she didn't know. But yeah, smelled Adam there for a minute. if only he hadn't left for BuzzFeed or that other job, wherever he is, Adam.
I certainly felt, let me put it this way, it was nice to see Erin Blake standing up for her professional sensibilities. Certainly, I prefer that versus, you know, there were times where Kara's like, whatever, I'll make a deal because, you know, blah, 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 because story. That said, it was like, did Erin Blake need to be like, you know, you shall not take this story away from me? Like, hold on here. This is not the Pentagon Papers here. This is not, you know, breaking news, cure to cancer and AIDS at the same time. I'm not saying that this story is, you know, kind of mere human interest. It's not, you know, boys selling puppies and lemonade. It is of international import. But as the story is evolving, sit and go, hey, you might negatively impact the very positivity that you're trying to write about, so let's trade that for a much more positive, much more appropriate story. To me, that all felt realistic. It was just, you know, I think it probably was, Pete, hey, actress, you have these two scenes. You really got to sell the conflict here. And, you know, she kind of needs to be a bit of the villain in those two scenes.
On positivity and definitely towards affirmation, that you had Arthur and you had Miles with very specific feelings about what Allie should do in terms of her treatment. And I love this is like textbook excellent use of Trish, bringing her in now as the stepmom, you know, the idea of her as a mother, something we didn't know until, you know, past couple episodes, helping her to do this. I gotta be honest, I thought the show was gonna end in a little bit more of a downer with Arthur having been, you know, not in favor of Allie's you know, plan. And, you know, the hat came off and I'm like, here we go. We've never seen Joe Morton do that. And in fact, he replied to me about it on Twitter. But, you know, the show finds a way to turn what seems like a dark situation into something. Obviously, as a reverend, he is an accepting and open-minded individual. granted, he's been through this terrible thing with the death of his wife, having seen her succumb to cancer and the brutality of chemotherapy, was definitely not expecting the way they took it.
I think that had there not been other things going on in the episode, I would have liked it if just a little bit more time was spent with Arthur not being happy that Allie was putting her life on the line based on hope. Meanwhile, he's in the hope business. And I think that that's an interesting conflict within himself. I don't think that it is contrary to his character, particularly since he's lived through the emotional hope of his calling. He's also lived through the scientific numbers of battling cancer. And I think that those are, you know, those are two separate thoughts in the mind. I think too, kind of classic God friended me conflict in this whole discussion, which is to say, aside from the fact that there's certain pressures on this drama, you know, this as a drama, as a constructed drama, and look, now we've potentially extended the Allie cancer storyline. Separate from that, Miles and Arthur's perspectives can be considered to be correct, as is Allie and Trish's. It's so typical of the show to do that sort of thing versus, you know, I am right and you are wrong, and I am good and you are bad. All the perspectives based on the information they have right now, all the perspectives they have are completely valid. And then you add to it the fact that it lands as it should, which is Allie is making the decision about her body, her choice, etc. I thought it was really, really well done. Again, my only concern is this is a constructed hour-long network drama, and now they've put Allie at risk for more cancer, not less, and that makes me worried, you know, between now and episode 220.
Right, and again, it's the dual-edged sword of Javicia Lesi getting this storyline, you know, difficult to handle in terms of the subject matter, but more screen time and you know, balancing that. Two things noticeably absent that had been building in recent episodes, Matt. One, this idea of becoming the prophet for the God account and giving up love. And two, the guy from apartment 4G.
Yeah, I think part of what made this whole episode so interesting, amongst other things, and again, not knowing if they knew when this would air, but suspecting that it would, I suspect that they made it knowing that there would be after a bit of a break. This was kind of a standalone, I mean, yes, we certainly advanced the cancer storyline more, but we did not immediately jump back into, hey, you've been away from the show for a month. Well, listen, guy in 4G and also this and also that. And Kara's stepdad, and all of that was just kind of on pause as we did a nice beginning, middle, end with some through line of, you know, hey, we need to tell Arthur and Trish because they're just back from their honeymoon. Hey, there's the ongoing treatment. But some of those things kind of put on hold. And I think that episode 213 is the time to do it, you know, versus say, 217, 218, 219, somewhere in there where we really should be feeling the momentum towards the end.
What are people saying on the horn?
Pete, some tweets here. First one up from Andre Yeager. That's at Dr. Polo 1983. I always feel so lifted after this show ends. I love the way they handle difficult situations with class and dignity. Joe Morton is still a treasure, and Erica Gimple has added another touch of class. Glad the show is back. Hashtag Godfriended me. And then a tweet from Peter. That's at Tweet Scala. I enjoyed it. It showed how much we need our family throughout the good times and the rough times. Peter, getting a little reflective there. Great observation.
Absolutely. Couple tweets that I had sent out here that, as I said before, I got a rise out of Joe Morton. The first was about the hat off move there. That at Joe the Morton hat off move shows he means business. Hashtag God frenemy. To which he replied with the LOL emoji with the tears coming down there. A couple minutes later, I had tweeted that pumpkin mac and cheese is never going to clear customs. Hashtag God friend of me, and a similar reply there, that on top of a couple likes out of our Lulu actress as well, who was out there scanning the tweets. So, you know, we've said this before, we'll say it again. Your viewership is the number one category that's evaluated in terms of renewal cancellation, but that interaction on social media absolutely matters. So doesn't have to be a lot, but you know, get that hashtag out there, get people talking about it, have that discussion, definitely helps.
Yeah, and I think you see out of Joe Morton and you see out of the Lulu actress kind of the right amount of response. I'm reminded there was that Halle Berry CBS sci-fi show on about 4 or 5 summers ago.
Extant.
We weren't podcasting it, but we were gonna live tweeting it. Was gonna be our little
hashtag
thing.
Hashtag. It's just science.
Yeah. Well, that's just it. Is all of a sudden, and we were not tweeting at anybody. We were just tweeting among, you know, amongst ourselves. All of a sudden, this guy starts coming back at me. I'm like, who the heck is this guy?
Showrunner.
Oh, it's the showrunner who's yelling at me because I wasn't being a jerk. It was just like, you know, I find this scene uncompelling or whatever it was. And it was like, who's this guy yelling at me? Oh, it's the guy from the show. Well, Pete, extant didn't exactly last too long. So I guess typical God friended me. Sometimes you get what you give, and sometimes you should give what you want to get.
There you go. Well, Matt, all the giving and helping with us are the good people of patreon.com/fantasticgeek.
Yes, keeping us supported through hither and yon, through all these shows, and certainly so proud to have people go to patreon.com/fantasticgeek. Help keep the podcast afloat. All sorts of goodies there, all sorts of ways that we say thank you. Pete, there is one, though, that's a freebie that's talking to you on Twitter. How can people do so?
You can find me on Twitter at Peter, PieterJKetelaar, 11,154 followers. Can't be wrong.
And while I'm personally on Twitter as Looking Back Lost, do be in touch with the podcast. Comment on fantasticgeek.com. Check us out on Instagram, Twitter, Gmail, where we are Fantastic Geek as well. But wait, Pete, there's more.
Facebook.com/fantasticgeek, all one word with the P and the H, like it today. And just another way that you can be interacting about the show, there's a number of Facebook groups. Use the hashtag on Facebook if you're on there. Interact with our Facebook page, and all that stuff gets taken into account.
For those listening on the Pop Culture Podcast feed, we will be back on Saturday to talk Picard episode 105. If you're here for God Friended Me, we'll be back this time next week to talk the next episode of God Friended Me. That's your 214. With that, Pete, I will say adios to all the listeners and give you the final word.
God saved the Queen.